Well, this evening is a Pilgrim's Progress service. So we're continuing with Christian on his journey. And we've been in Pilgrim's Progress for a little while. He's getting closer to the end. It's a bit more regular now because I'm on a final push to get Pilgrim's Progress done by the summer school holidays. That's the plan. Christian in the story isn't there yet. Does anyone know, children particularly, where he's going to be tonight? Finn, firsthand? Yeah, we're going in here. Okay, so this is the focus tonight, which is a difficult subject. And Christian is not that far from the celestial city, but he feels very far from it tonight, as we'll see. And please do take up your Bibles. We're going to have Psalm 88 read to us. Oh, thank you, brother.
Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I'm overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You've put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? For I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend.
Gareth, it'd be great if you could keep that open. You may not want to. It's quite a passage, isn't it? Almost unique in the Psalms, because there's many prayers of suffering in the Bible, aren't there? Many cries of help, but most of them end on a note. You know, something like, God, I know you're with me. Or, I know you will, you know, I will see your face again, or something like that. But Psalm 88 and Psalm 39 as well end in the dark. What a line at the end. Darkness is my closest friend. What kind of prayer ends like that? Real ones. Realistic ones. The kind of prayer that John Bunyan himself would have prayed, because he struggled. He, of course, was a believer. A very helpful one. But openly, he agonized about his sin, about his security of salvation. He said he himself lived for a good while in the town of Morality. It's one of the places, isn't it, he mentions in his book. He was ahead of his time in that he confessed to great mental anguish, which today we'd probably call OCD. In his book, Grace Abounding, he wrote, uncleanness, blasphemies, and despair would hold me captive. My mind would be so strangely snatched away. This is John Bunyan. He was a passionate man. So he would go from great heights of faith, but also he experienced great deep lows as well. Let's pray. I'm going to briefly pray before we get in. Just to add, I've been helped in tonight's preparation by some thoughts from Tim Keller in this area of darkness and depression. Let's pray. Father, we thank you we can look at this difficult theme together, and we pray, Lord, on the back of a rejoicing morning and great news of a school serving you and young people coming to Jesus. We pray now as we come to look at difficult struggles, realistic struggles of what it is to be human. We pray that you would help us on this warm evening, keep us alert, and Lord, by your Spirit, speak to us that we might understand, that we might ourselves might grow and be helped, and also be able to help others. We ask this in your name. Amen. So we're going to be in Pilgrim's Progress story this evening, and then sort of Psalm 88 at times as well. Feedback after. Christian and Hopeful left the path. This is where we left off last time. They were trying to find an easier way, weren't they? And Bunyan is reminding us that going out of the way, God's way, brings trouble. Ultimately, it's never easy. People think an easier way is easier, but sin is a slippery customer. It always takes us further than we want. It always keeps us longer than we planned. Sin always makes us pay more than we ever imagined as well. So the travellers went over the stile, seeing a path that they thought was better. And, oh dear, and they went into Bypass Meadow. They tried to get back onto the right path after a little while, but darkness was falling. The rain was coming down, and they found a little shelter. And being weary, they fell asleep. Bunyan writes, not knowing that they were sleeping on the grounds of Doubting Castle, the owner being Giant Despair. And Bunyan, kind of semi-autobiographically, is teaching that the grounds of despair for the Christian are not in the way of the Christian life. Now, caveat, it is true that our sin leads us into trouble. Oh, that we would obey and save ourselves a lot of bother and others as well. So that is true. Our own sin can lead to despair, and it does. But it's also true that Christians can suffer depression and despair not through their sin. So think of the book of Job, which, of course, we'll come to at times shortly. But Christian and Hopeful, having left the path, now in this episode this evening, next section of the book, come to a great trial. As we've seen, the kind of struggles that Christian in the story particularly has in his own character, they are anxiety, they're despondency. He's more given to those sort of things. You may remember, if you were here a while ago, Faithful, who went to be with the Lord in Vanity Fair, his besetting sins were more lust and people-pleasing, kind of worldliness. A different character, Christian, a different kind of character. Hopeful in the story we will see. Well, Bunyan writes that Giant Despair was up early, walking in his grounds, and he caught Christian and Hopeful asleep. And again, if you've not been here, the pictures, I use these pictures, and then I found other pictures, so they're a bit weird going between, but if they help, great. If not, don't worry. He finds them asleep. Here's the point Bunyan's making. They're asleep when they should have been awake. So their sin, they're going off the path, is going to cause them a lot of problems. But the first thing it causes is that actually they're awake at night, trying to get out of a difficult situation, and now they're asleep in the daytime when they need to be awake. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But now we are of the day. Let us be self-controlled. So Christians, we need to be awake and alert in the day, don't we? When we ought to be. They were not. They're asleep, so they're not on their game. This is the kind of picture Bunyan's giving us, spiritual alertness. They're not on their game, and it's going to cause huge problems. It makes them very vulnerable. So giant despair wakes them up and asks them, you know, where are you going? What are you doing? Whatever they said back made no difference. He says, you've trespassed on my grounds. You must come with me. And he forced them to walk ahead of him. And he drove them, this great club, to his castle. So giant despair, of course, compared to Christian and hopeful, is very big physically. Because despair is a giant. Doubt, depression, they're overwhelming things, aren't they? They fill. If you've struggled, some of you may be struggling now with these sorts of things. They just fill our horizon on every side. All-consuming. Very big. Giant despair puts them in his dark and stinky dungeon. There had to be a light there, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to see them, would you? But imagine children, it's pitch black in there. And there they laid, Bunyan writes, from Wednesday to Saturday, without a piece of bread or a drop of drink or any light, far from friends. And this is Bunyan's picture of despair. Locked up, locked in the dark, no refreshment, no light. Giant despair had a wife, one you wouldn't want, fellas. Her name was Diffidence, meaning a kind of suspicion or mistrust. And she's just terrible. She's awful. So when chatting to Giant Despair about them at bedtime, she says, well, in the morning, give them a good beating without mercy. Wow. What a wife. This is what Giant Despair does. The next morning, he goes to them. He takes a club. First, he insults them, and then he beats them badly, leaving them to lay there all day with nothing but sighs and groans. That night, Giant Despair's wife asks about them again, hearing that they're still alive. She says, well, go to them in the morning and try and make them to make an end of themselves. So in the morning, Giant Despair went with his evil reasoning, kind of, you know, since you two are never going to be able to get out of here, why choose life when it's going to be so dark, so full of pain and sadness? They ask him, they say, please let us go. And it made him mad, just in a rage. And he ran at them, and he would have finished them off there and then. But he fell into one of his fits, which he sometimes had. Christian, in the dark, lies there, groaning in pain, and says, hopeful, what shall we do? Life is miserable. Shall we be ruled by the giant? Should we live despairing all our lives? And this is what enveloping darkness feels like, doesn't it? No hope, kind of no sort of way of escape. Dark days just stretch into the distance on every side. Tim Keller talks of two kinds of darkness, outer darkness and inner darkness. The sense he means in outer darkness is when our circumstances are difficult. So you can have outer darkness, but still inside sense God's presence and love. Again, we know that. We can be, you know, really helped in the moment, can't we? But of course, inner darkness is the feeling of abandonment, lovelessness inside. This was Christian in the dungeon. This is the writer of Psalm 88. This is Job as well at times, which reminds us, all three, you can be a Christian, but you can be in the dark for a long time. Which, of course, is a big downer, but actually, it is a help to hear this. Because expectations are crucial when it comes to suffering, aren't they? I wonder if you've heard the thought or you've had the thought, kind of along the lines of, well, now I'm a Christian, nothing really bad can happen to me. Is it true? Why is it not true? How do we know that is not true? I see some shakes of heads here. I agree with you. It is not true because there is someone far, far better than all of us who really did live the perfect life. But he didn't have a great life, did he? He was tortured and he was killed. Of course, it's Jesus Christ. Expectations are crucial when it comes to suffering. John Bunyan, Job, Psalm 88 reminds us suffering comes even if it's not our fault. One thing that is our fault is if we think really bad things can't happen to us because we're Christians. That's on us, because that's not true. A lot of actual pain can come through false expectations. We can be Christians and we can be in a dark place for a long time. Well, back to the story. Christian feels all hope is gone, but hopeful is beside him, and he gives many reasons why they should persevere. He says, yes, our present condition is dreadful, and death seems like it would bring relief, doesn't it? But let us consider our Lord. Let us consider his life, his commands. And they talk for a long time about how many people think that the way out leads to a better way. But, says hopeful, remember Bypass Meadow. It looked better, didn't it? In the moment, but it's not. One might escape the frying pan only to find themselves in the fire. They didn't say it in the book. That's Lord of the Rings, isn't it? Hobbit. It's true, isn't it? People in the dark, it's a difficult subject, isn't it? Very, very sad. It may be touching us particularly in our lives. People in the dark may seek escape. And seek an escape that for many is no escape at all. Absolutely not. Christian in the story would give up. His body is groaning. It's pitch black. His soul is black at this point. And this is a very sad and difficult topic. But Christians can be in such a place. Sinclair Ferguson helpfully said, well, many people die of a broken body. Others die of a broken mind. Hopeful says, there's always hope, Christian. And he encourages him, and he's right. In Jesus, there is hope, of course, always. Think how the greatest hope came through the darkest day, didn't it? And not just hope. Tim Keller actually says the darkness is a best place to learn grace. So if you have Psalm 88 open, it'd be great if you can follow. So you see verses 10 and 12, which Jared read very helpfully to us. And these verses, he interrogates God, doesn't he? Yeah, do you show your wonders to the dead? Will spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave? Your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in a place of darkness? Your righteous deeds in a land of oblivion. He's kind of being sarcastic, isn't he? God, well, how can I do any of this if I'm dead? He's saying, isn't he? He is saying, God, what you're doing makes no sense to me. Finish me off, and well, where's the praise to you going to be? He's actually quite close to blasphemy, isn't he? His heart is clearly out of control. There is no, Lord, your will be done in this moment, is there? Rather, verse 15, he says, from my youth I've suffered and I've been close to death. All my life, Lord, you've abandoned me. Darkness is a better friend than you are right now. And it can make you wonder when you look at Psalm 88 why this is in the Bible. And Psalm 39, which ends on a similar note. The writer says, God, turn your face away from me, that I might have peace before I die. One author, Derek Kidner, says the presence of these prayers in the Bible shows God's understanding. Very helpful. Why is Psalm 88 in the Bible? Who put Psalm 88 in the Bible? God did, didn't he? God didn't say, I don't want this in the Bible. No, he put it in there, didn't he? What does that say about God? It says he identifies with some of us who pray like this, doesn't it? It tells us that God is a God of grace, who knows how we speak when we're desperate and in dark places. And this is liberating when we see that God is the God of Christian, who's on the edge in the story. He's the God of the writer of Psalm 88, He-Man, his name is, you can see. And it frees us because it shows God is not a God just of those who have it all together. Bit of a problem for us in England, isn't it? Be seen to have it all together. He's not just a God for those who put on a happy face. But he is a God of grace, isn't he? Well, back to the story. Hopeful continues to encourage Christian with reasons to persevere. He's saying things like, well, who knows? The giant might die. God is sovereign. He can end this. He says, remember his goodness to you in the past, how valiant you've been. Remember your battle with Apollyon. And did you get through the valley of the shadow of death? Yes, you did. And what about Vanity Fair? Remember God's help and strength in those times. So hold on to it now. You've been through darkness. You've triumphed through those things by God's grace. Why won't it happen again? Hopeful says to him. And he says as well, of course, consider Christ. Did Christ not endure? And did he not promise that he would be with us always? That he would strengthen us to follow him, to keep going? And Bunyan adding that their trial was from Wednesday to Saturday night is thought to be a strong kind of nod of the head to Christ's suffering, who for the joy set before him never gave up. Praise his name, endured the cross. Consider Christ, says Hopeful. Our Lord has been here. He who shares our flesh, tempted in every way, yet he knew no sin. He did not see decay, and neither will we, says Hopeful to Christian. Evening comes. Giant Despair goes to see if his prisoners have taken his advice. Seeing they hadn't, he gets really mad and he beats them again, promising worse things to come. He's in bed again and his wife says, are they dead yet? He says, no, they're sturdy rogues, choosing rather to bear hardship. She tells him to take them to the castle yard the next day, show them the remains of previous victims. So next day he does, takes them, and he shows them all the people, or the bones of the people who died at his hands. And it says, Bunyan writes, he beat them all the way back to the cell where they laid all day Saturday. Again, a reference to our Lord who lay in the grave all day Saturday. I think there's some kind of, well, there is a link with them identifying with Christ in his suffering. And this is why I think dark times teach us more than any other times. Because in the dark, faith is seen for what it really is, isn't it? It is the test that really exposes our faith. What we're in it for, if you like, crudely put. So look again at Psalm 88. The psalmist is not doing well. But what is he doing? He's praying, isn't he? Verse 1, Lord, you're my God who saves. I cry out to you. Verse 2, may my prayer come before you. He's talking to God, isn't he? He has not turned his back on God. Do you remember the reason for Job's suffering? It was a test, wasn't it? To see if Job was a true believer. So at the beginning of Job, Satan comes to God and effectively calls Job a fraud. He says, doesn't he? You know, does Job serve you for nothing? Meaning, He only serves you, God, for what he gets from you. He's in a transactional relationship with you, God. He prays, he sacrifices. You know why? Because you bless him. And you give him peace. He doesn't love you for you, God. He loves himself and he uses you. He's doing stuff because he gets stuff. So Satan says, God, take away the blessings and you will see what Job's really like. He will curse you because actually he loves himself and uses you. And this is really strong, but it's really helpful. And we should ask, is it true for you? Is it true for me? Do we love God for God? Do we love God for us? But of course, in some way, it is absolutely true. It has to be, doesn't it? Let's just think. Christian, why did you come to Christ in the first place? It's because of your need of salvation, wasn't it? Something you needed. Christ has. Praise his name. But if we stay in that place and only in that place, the whole kind of Christian walk through, there's a problem in the middle of our Christianity, isn't there? There's an inward focus. And if this is the case, then it's the reason that when something bad happens to us, we get knocked for six. Saying things like, well, why is God doing this to me? Or why has he left me? How could God let this happen to me? Me, me, me. Despite Job struggling like Psalm 88, Job says as well, Lord, give me the noose. I wish I hadn't been born. He says things like that. At the end of Job, God says, Job honored me. Why? How did Job honor God? And the answer is because Job was still praying to God. He was angry. He was desperate. He was complaining to God. But what did Job never do? He never walked away from God, did he? He stayed with God even though he was getting nothing out of it. Which means, wonderfully, book of Job, Satan was defeated, wasn't he? Satan was wrong. So the dark, although awful and horrible, is the place of grace. It's the place of growth. Because as we hold on to God in the dark, even though we're getting nothing out of it that we can see or feel, and they're the things that really kind of affect us a lot, isn't it? Though we continue to go to church, to pray, to read our Bibles, to hold fast, it's the dark, it's the clinging on that turns us into people of endurance, isn't it? Stability. Strong Christians. I want to be a strong, unflappable Christian. And it's the dark that we'll find out, really. It's the testing ground, the proving ground, isn't it? When it's dark, a literal dungeon for some Christians around the world right now, or a time of illness, a time of pain, maybe school is really hard, maybe mental health struggles are just on top of you. The question in Job hits hard. Why am I a Christian? I don't seem to be getting anything out of this. Christianity. Is it to serve God or is it to be served? So the great paradox of suffering, if you like, is that it's precisely in the dark when we really see. We really see why we follow Christ. Which is why the dark, though the worst place, can actually be the best place. Do you see? To close. Darkness is a reality, can be for Christians, very dark. It reveals grace. It grows us. Also, from it, fruit is often unseen. Bunyan himself was in prison for 12 years. Could he ever have imagined in that cell, as he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, the reach of his book? All the way down the years, still going. Second bestseller until a couple of decades ago. after the Bible. Could you have imagined that? That millions would read of giant despair and be helped. Bunyan couldn't see that, could he? The writer of Psalm 88, would he ever have pictured the stretch of this psalm as he was writing it? He probably thought it just screwed up and binned. Awful. God in his goodness has used these things. What God does through his people in hard times, we may know, we may not know. God knows. Think of the one who experienced the deepest darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. Darkness fell. And he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" Believer, however dark things get, our darkness isn't pitch, is it? Jesus got total darkness. So John Bunyan, Job, you, and me never will. Jesus got it on the cross, didn't he? He alone knew darkness as his only friend, as he took the sins of millions on himself. See, you deserve darkness. I deserve darkness. Instead, we get grace, don't we, because of what Christ did. Back to the story. Midnight on Saturday. So again, the timing is key. As Saturday turned to Sunday, Christian and Hopeful began to pray. And Bunyan writes that he continued to pray almost to the break of day. And then suddenly Christian burst out. "What a fool I am to lie in a dark dungeon when I could be free. I have a key in my chest pocket, a key called promise. This, Hopeful, I think will open any lock in the castle." Well, Hopeful says, "Great, let's try it." So all this time, Christian had this key, didn't he? And Bunyan again is teaching, believers have this. They have it because they have the promises of God. And it's in his heart where he gets the key from. It's the promises of God with the power to defeat despair and depression and despondency. It may take time, but God's word will win out in the end in a believer and bring them to the place of joy and freedom in Christ. So we hold fast to God and his word. We cling fingernails sometimes, because his word and work will come to completion. None who are Christ's, however dark it gets, will be snatched from his hand. He will never leave them. He will never forsake them. Christ will take safely home all those for whom he has died on the cross for. They use the key and the door opens. They move through the castle. Some doors are harder to open than others. Again, we've got a picture here from Bunyan. Won't go into this. It takes time to battle through mental illness and despair and so on. Giant despair hears the locks and he rose in a rage, picking up his club to recapture the prisoners. But another attack comes on him. His limbs give way. And he couldn't move. So they escape and they run back to the stile. Over they go. And you can imagine how pleased they were to see the rough, narrow way. Horrible, difficult. But they were delighted. And they say, "We must make a monument to warn others." And they do. And it implores travellers to not go into Bypass Meadow, but to stay on the narrow way. Which is, of course, what we need to encourage one another as well, isn't it?